In 1 John chapter 4, we know that John is constantly giving brothers and sisters in Christ warnings. He is giving them understanding. He is actually telling them, hey, this is what you need to understand in order to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We know that John said that in God is light and there's no darkness in him at all, meaning that as we conform to the image of Christ, we too have no darkness in us at all. But you have to remember at the time in which John is writing this letter, it's very similar to the time that we have now. We have many spirits of Antichrist entering into the world. And it is not coming from outside, you see. It is coming inside the church. The war is not with some distant enemy from another region, country, or culture. It's inside the very house of God. That's where the battle is. That's where the war is. I'm not saying that this church is a church of tradition and culture, so much so that you expect your pastor to wear a suit and tie and everybody here needs to be dressed in business casual clothing. We're not that tight. We're not so tight that we need to only play organ music and guitars and drums are not allowed. We're not that tight. But at the same time, the foundation of this church is God's word, which we will be obedient to it. If you don't want to be obedient to it, there are other churches that you can go to where you can have a good time. But sound doctrine will be here. Order will be here. So I ask that y'all pray for me. Because this week was a tough week with this message here. Because it was a constant self-evaluation with me. 1 John 4:1 reads, "Behold, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is from the beginning. And now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." Verse 5, "They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who loves God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. But this we know, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." False teachers, false prophets. By the show of hands, and I need y'all to be patient with me today, so please raise y'all's hands if it counts, okay? Thank you, Ben, already, man. Ben's my best friend. How many of you have ever heard of the word a false prophet or a false teacher? How many of you believe that you can identify a false prophet or a false teacher? Right, raise your hands. How many of you honestly don't know the difference between a false teacher and a false prophet? Okay. We have a lot of churches right now that are fighting one another by claiming this person is a false teacher or a false prophet. for the sake of, when I say false teacher, false prophet, is based because of the text, but I'm going to say more toward, we're going to say more towards the false teacher concept, because we don't have prophets today as the Old Testament did, okay? So when I say false teacher or false prophet, I mean false teacher, false doctrine going forth. If we have a difference of an opinion with one another in the scriptures, you call the person a false teacher or a false doctor, false prophet. When a pastor gets caught up in something in the world, you call him a false teacher. Is it true? There are some of you that believe that you can identify a false teacher a mile away. You could smell them like a shark smells blood, and you are ready to expose them because for some reason God gave you and only you the spirit of what you call discernment. There is a spirit of discernment. There certainly is. But some people claim, I have the spirit of discernment, but can't tell me where to find the book of Matthew in the Bible. They don't know the Bible any more than they know the back of their hand, but because they have strong feelings about something, they feel that they can tell who is who in the kingdom of God. Let me clear this up really fast. The disciples, as we talked about 2 weeks ago and over again, the disciples did not know that Judas was Judas. They knew him as Judas, a brother, a co-disciple, not the one that's going to betray. The reason why the Gospels mention Judas as the one who's going to betray is because it's after the fact. So if these men being so close to Jesus couldn't identify, what makes you more special? Fact is that we're not. But there is a very interesting camouflage game going on here. When I was in the military and I was living in Camp Pendleton, there was a time I went out and I was on a, we were on a hump, if you will, what they call, you know, we kind of went on a hike or we went kind of out into the field. And there was a time I was going off beyond the perimeter to use the restroom. And I noticed a movement that was very, very subtle, but it was odd. So I stared at this object for a long period of time, and it did not move at all. And then I heard a noise, and everything was still. And the movement happened slightly again, and it turned out that it was a foot of a Marine sniper who just so happened to be posted at that place. When I finally saw that it was a person, he saw me, I gave him a nod, he gave me a nod, I moved on. Didn't see him at first though. But because there was some diligent time of about 3 minutes that felt like 3 hours of just sitting there waiting, I was finally able to identify because he had mercy on me and moved his foot just a little bit. Other than that, I wouldn't have known. He was in training, I was in training. He could have took me out. Easy. What's happened now in the church is we have a camouflage taking place that even the church doesn't identify. And sometimes it takes us to diligently wait and search to see what's really going on. Problem with us as believers is we're so quick to say amen and hallelujah that we're not waiting and seeing what's really going on. Let me check the temperature. John says this. He says in verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Do not believe, do not trust, do not become completely dependent upon every spirit, a supernatural entity. Do not do those things. Do not put the trust in every. When it says every, the Greek word means all, every kind of, every sort of spirit. You understand that we live in a time right now, and I didn't realize this because even when I was growing up, I thought it meant one thing, but it meant something different. We have a situation where people identify themselves as spiritual. Have you ever heard that before? I'm spiritual. Are you a Christian? I'm spiritual. Hey, I'm not going to mess up. I'm a spiritual person. You understand that we as believers sometimes take that spiritual person and then they identify it with us. I'm a Christian. Oh, so you're spiritual. You're religious. You understand that anybody could be religious. Anybody could be spiritual. You have a spirit. Everybody could be spiritual. But do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? That's the question. So when someone jumps up and says to you, I am spiritual, and yes, I have a Bible too, does not mean that they should be standing in your pulpit, standing in your Bible studies, standing in your Sunday schools, standing in your children's church, teaching the Bible. Because they're not teaching the Bible. Just because someone says, I am a believer, does not mean that they immediately get access to be put in the position of they are a believer. Now, there's no reason not to believe them. If so-and-so walks up to me and says, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm going to believe you. But let's see what's going on. Let's talk about these things. Because not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, should enter into the kingdom of heaven or will enter into the kingdom of heaven. So John makes it clear, do not trust, do not believe every spirit. Do you see churches happening now where sound doctrine is not taking place? Can anyone identify in your mind a church that does not teach sound doctrine? Anybody? A couple of you. The rest of you, I'm assuming that you don't know. Yes? Yes? Let's try to poll one more time. Okay, because I'm trying to make sure that I can go one way or I can go a different way. Okay, so here's the thing. Those of you that know that there's churches that don't teach sound doctrine, how many of you know that? Okay, are there any of you that don't know that and I don't know. Thank you for your honesty. We have churches now that are more concerned with the attraction of the church. I have a friend whose wife was trying to get us to go to their church for a long time. I'm not going to name the church. I can name the church because they're not named that anymore. They changed their name since then. They're very far away from us here right now. They're not far away from us. Jamie, if you do me a favor and please not talk while I'm doing it. Golly. We got to go to the text. No, I'm joking. So no, we had a friend that, you know, she invited us to the church and we were skeptical about going, but we went. And the biggest thing she said is, "Oh my gosh, you're going to love it. I mean, oh, they have such an amazing praise and worship team." Cool. My focus is not the praise and worship team. My focus is on what the pastor's got to say. So we go there. The praise and worship team was not good. It was actually very, very boring and bad and wasn't interested. And the pastor got up and he literally, as me and Alan talk about all the time, he comes up and he says, "Okay, how many of y'all need a breakthrough this morning?" God just told me something. Yeah, uh-oh, right? God just told me something. I'm going to use you since you said, oh, brother, he told me something about you. You have that weird look. He told me that situation is going to work out. Glory. There we go. Right? But here's the thing. It was funny. He made a general statement. You don't know what that situation is. Situation could be a car issue. It could be a major family emergency. Whatever. And for some reason, people say, oh my gosh, it was God talking to me. No. He said something general. If we had a room here full of parents that had a bunch of kids, you're going to say, check it out. Your situation with your kid's going to work out. Oh my gosh, that was from God. No, it wasn't. He just made a general statement. Either way it goes, it was a horrible experience. And then she comes up after service and says, well, that wasn't the right praise and worship team. It was a different praise and worship team this week. Attractional. And sometimes the attraction comes in telling people what they want to hear and not what they need to hear. You need to hear that you are a sinner. You are filthy. You are damaged beyond repair. You need to hear that without Jesus Christ, you are doomed to hell. It is destined to happen for you. You need to hear the fact that Jesus Christ is the only source of your salvation. Not your goodness, not your happiness, not because you feel good, and not because you treated people well. It's simply because you have been forgiven through Jesus Christ who died on the cross. That is the only way to salvation. There is no other way. That is what you need to hear. That's what we need to hear all the time. But you have churches that don't want to do that. You have a church by a gentleman who I've referenced to several times that will not admit sin in his congregation. His sermons consist of him telling life stories in front of an arena full of people, and he tells them that this makes you feel good. He has a quote. He has a thing that the congregation memorizes. Pull your Bibles up and put them up in the air. And then he says a little poem. But guess what? He doesn't teach from it. Because if he taught from it, he would say, some of us are in error. Some of us have made a mistake. Some of us are sinning. Some of us are sinful. We are all sinful, according to the Word of God. So what happens is, just because you have this famous celebrity pastor does not mean you need to trust that spirit. Don't believe in every spirit, but test. What does test mean? It means to examine. It means to prove. It means to carefully inspect. That's why I say to you, if there's anything that I say that's an error according to you, come at me. But you know what? You're going to get two responses from me. You're going to get the stone face, or you're going to get the warm, accepting, receiving face. Now, how do you distinguish those two? Guess what? If I say something that's an error, and it's a violation of the Word of God, you come to me and say, I don't like what you said, Luan, you're going to get the stone face. You come at me and say, Luan, I've got a problem with what you said because you said this, but in Ezekiel chapter, okay, give me book, chapter, and verse. Your emotions, not dealing with it. They change. You give me a book, chapter, and verse, we'll have a conversation. I will stand and say, I apologize to you. And I will have, y'all know I have not had no problem apologizing to the whole congregation. Especially that horrible month ago when I forgot a whole verse. Preaching and forgot the whole verse. Had to go back and do that verse before we did the new verses. What I'm saying is that we need to have sound doctrine. And the problem is that people, these spirits are coming into the church and they're demonic spirits. They come from inside the church. We deal with these spirits every single day, but they're demonic spirits, and these demonic spirits are producing false teachers, producing false doctrine, producing false teachers and prophets. And they develop this false doctrine that starts off as watered down, and then it's a whole other flavor. They give you a watered-down drink. And eventually it turns into complete false doctrine. There was a pastor that we talked about before who people love. He's got books, movies, record label. I bet you if I told you he was my uncle, y'all believe me. I told you if he was my daddy, y'all believe me. Really? But he changes the scripture so much that now people believe in anything that he says, and there's no Bible to support it. He literally told people that the Holy Spirit is the semen of God. Sick. Number one is sick, and number two is blasphemous. Because the Spirit is impregnating you with something special. Stop. Book, chapter, and verse. You tell me in the Bible where it says that. I understand they have books. I understand they have books that are motivational. And if you want to read them for motivational, by all means, do it. Makes you feel good. That's great. You want to read about your best life now? Do it. No problem. But it's not biblical doctrine. Don't trust every spirit. Don't believe every spirit, but examine, test the spirits. Who tested in the Bible? You want to say the Bereans? Paul comes in, teaches them. What do the Bereans do? They don't say, oh my gosh, it's Paul. No, what they did was they opened up their books. They opened up, they studied the text to see if what he said was so. They diligently examined what even Paul was talking about. We must examine, we must test out to see if what is being said is from God. Because the fact of the matter is, in these end times, we are at war with other spirits, and we are at war we're in the battle of the truth. What is the truth? The battle is within, and we are fighting this war for the truth. In Jeremiah 29, verse 8 and 9, this is what it says. It says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams which they dream. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. False teachers are in the church, and they are attempting to destroy the church within the church. If you want to kill a plant, you take out the roots. I burned a leaf. It don't mean nothing. There'll be 10 more later. Y'all know the story of Troy? The mythic story of Troy? How did they get in? How did they get into Troy? Build a big horse? Climbed into the Trojan horse? And they went into the walls. They couldn't get in any other way. Let's be real. How does Satan get to the bride of Christ and into the church? By disguising himself in. We must be on guard. Doesn't the book of Proverbs tell us to be on guard, be watchful? Acts chapter 20, verses 28, it says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flocks among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which I was looking of a way I can dance to that. Shepherd a church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. In other words, it is a war of truth and it is a war of popularity. John Doe and Jane Doe want a new church home. They're new out here. They come to this church. They see it. They say, oh, okay, yeah, they're really loving. They're nice. Yeah, it looks like the Bible's being taught there. It's really great. Okay, cool. Yeah, okay, we'll put that on the list. Check. They go to another church, and it's even smaller. And yeah, they go to another church, and the church has a nice thing. They got a Starbucks inside the lobby. They got a store where you could buy books and things like that. They've got the awesome smoke fog machine, which I've been talking to Ramona about getting, but she's refusing right now. Trying to get a smoke machine put up where the smoke comes in, and you have these college kids that are jumping up and down and, you know, singing, and it feels all good and nice, and the building is nice and it's really nice. And guess what? The preacher doesn't preach that great, but you know, I feel great when I get there. It's attractional. It's attractional. We got to pay attention. We have to be careful. We have to be on watch. When you're in the military, you have to be on watch because lives depend upon it. I know I told you guys this story already, but it just popped up, so I'm going to tell you all it again. And I'm doing this for my C Street brothers and sisters because guess what? Y'all ain't heard it, so I'm going to tell you it anyway. I was on board USS Kitty Hawk, and we have a thing where you separate your trashes from sinkable and plastics. Sinkable and plastics. When you're out to sea for a long period of time, sinkable or plastics. Any trash that's sinkable, you toss it overboard, but you have to toss it overboard. You have to be so far away from land that it just goes into the recycling system of the ocean. So yes, for those of you that don't know, in the Navy, they toss their trash in the ocean. Yeah, I'm just letting you know, it's true. The plastics go and get melted down. They don't toss those over. 11 o'clock at night, we're going to take this big brown paper bag full of trash, take it over to the deck to toss it over. The gentleman that's on watch asleep, knocked out. Not my place, not my problem. I go pass by him, I toss it over. When I walk back in, what are you doing? Trash is secure, a.k.a. meaning that you're not supposed to throw the trash over because we were in operations. We were probably too close to land. Or wherever we were, it wasn't supposed to be tossed over. Just seconds after he said that, bing, bing, man overboard. Because the watchmen up top saw the trash, thought it was a person. What was the result of that? The result of that is everybody at 11 o'clock had to get up and muster. Imagine 3,000 people, 5,000 people on a ship all having to get up and be held accounted for and meet up at their designated area. They have to get out of bed and meet up until everybody's accounted for, and then they release it. So that took another hour and a half. That young man got in deep trouble. Not me tossing it. He was there to be on watch to make sure that no one went out there to dump the trash. So it was on him, not on me. If we fall asleep, the whole world can be affected. If we're not adamant and watchful, we will start having churches that are no longer teaching sound doctrine, but motivational speaking, making you feel good. If we're not on watch, we will start to accept anything that is being taught to us, and we will believe that the Holy Spirit is nothing more than the semen of God. because the person that said it seemed noble and profound, when the Bible says that there are savage wolves that have come. Let me tell you something. It always looks good. It might even taste good, but it's not good. How many of you have ever had that? You have something, you're like, man, it looks good. Oh, man, it looks delicious. It smells good. Oh, man, it's like a party in my nose and everybody's invited, right? It smells great. Then you eat it and you're like, oh, my gosh. And then all of a sudden, about 20 minutes later, you're like, oh, I shouldn't have ate that. Right? I didn't know this. And tell me, if somebody please just tell me I'm wrong and I'll just adopt the story. But cherries have the pits. If you swallow the pits and you swallow enough of them, you know you can poison yourself. You can actually kill yourself. What was it, cyanide? I think it's cyanide in it. Something. There's something in it. What I'm saying is that you're not supposed to swallow the pits. It may look good. It may taste good, but it's not good. Even the serpent in the garden, it looked good. It felt good. It probably tastes good because she said, gave it over to Adam. He tried some too. But it ultimately destroyed. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, it reads that you do not be quickly shaken from your composure or to be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if it was from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. We have to pay attention and we cannot be shaken. Just because someone comes up and says, I'm a Christian, doesn't necessarily mean, check the fine print. Someone asked me not that long ago, I'm not going to say this person's name, asked me about the commercial that comes on during Super Bowl and now it comes on during major sporting events about Jesus. Have you ever heard of that? Have y'all seen this commercial? Jesus, he gets us. That's the campaign. He gets us. Here's the funny thing about that. Is there anything wrong with the commercial? No. Is there anything that he said that's not true? It's not biblical, but there's nothing he said wasn't true. Well, we're talking about a guy who went against the government. It's true. There's a guy who has his people that he wasn't at war, but he was at peace with people, but the government hated him. Yeah. He loved people. Yeah. God gets us. And then the key word they say is, God gets us, all of us. Am I saying that they're wrong? No. You can look up the ministry and you can determine for yourself. Am I saying that, I know the owner of Chick-fil-A supports this campaign? Fine, no problem. But when you say God gets us and gets all of us, then guess what? Our friends, our brothers and sisters from the Rainbow Nation says, yeah, he gets me too. A person that runs a brothel and traffics people says, yeah, he gets me too. We have to be careful. We can sign and say, yeah, that's 100%. Jesus does get us. He does. He's our high priest. He understands every temptation and to the full out extent. But here's the funny thing. When we start to include everybody, does Jesus love everybody? Absolutely. But Jesus has never, ever allowed a person to walk away without admitting to them that they are sinful and to not sin again. Look at the adulterous woman. I don't condemn you, but go and do not sin. The man that was blind, he healed. He said, go, don't keep sinning or something worse will happen to you. Jesus was clear. Do not sin. So don't be shaken by these things. Do you think that the world that hates Jesus doesn't want prayer in schools, doesn't want me to speak against anything, against their agenda, is going to put up a commercial and say, Jesus, he gets us? and puts it on prime time? Do you really think that's a possibility? I'm just asking. Maybe it's watered down. Maybe it's watered down. I don't know, but maybe it is. That's why we have to test the spirits. Don't test this campaign. Test this campaign. Don't trust it just yet. Test it. Find out who they support. If they jump up and say, well, you know what, hey, we're not going to talk about sin, I would say that's caution. And I'm not here to be disrespectful to anybody. We love everyone here. Doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, what your past looked like, what your future may look like. We know that Jesus Christ will be glorified in you. The Holy Spirit will work in you. And it doesn't matter about your sinful past, because all of us have sinful past. My sin is greater than every single person in here is combined. And I say that honestly. And if you want to go and fight with me about that, you'll be here all day. You better pack a lunch. Because I promise you, every single one of you, all of your sins you've ever committed, I don't care if you're older than me or not, all of your sins that you've ever committed is not nothing compared to my sin. Sometimes I wonder why God still has me walking. But we have a Savior who forgives and who heals. First John 4, verses 2 and 3. By this we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard, that is coming and is now already in the world. This is how we know the difference between false teachers and sound teachers, false prophets and sound prophets. All teachers and preachers must preach the gospel and must believe that Jesus is. And the word is used here is confessing. It's meaning to be in a common mind with. It's not just confessing, you see. It's not just saying Jesus. It is saying that Jesus is. He walked on earth. He wasn't a mythological figure. He wasn't a guy who married Mary Magdalene, had kids, and there's a bloodline going on all the way into this day. That's not what we're talking about. No, we understand that there is a Jesus. There is a Christ. He is an anointed one, and we must be in common mind, in common with him, confessing him. So if you are in common mind with him, then you will preach him. You will teach him. The people that do not preach Christ, they're preaching everything, but then what they're doing is, me and Alan talked about this, what they do is they develop a sermon, and then they say, I got a great sermon, all I need now is Bible verses to support my sermon. That pastor I was talking to you about, I was listening to his daughter the other day, and her wig came off. Her wig started to come off, so she took it off, and people were jumping all up and down in front of her and stuff because she took her wig off. Then she did a 5-minute rant on her wig being off. The Lord will be glorified even if my wig comes off. And just talking about wigs. Stop talking about the wig. Talk the Bible. How could you get up in front of people of God without a Bible in your hand? Pastors do it. Pastors do it. We know that we are in a spirit. Every spirit that confesses, that's in common mind and thinking with Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He comes from God and in the flesh. Every spirit that does not confess, does not have a common mind with Jesus, is not of God, because it is other than Christ, and this spirit is Antichrist. aka other than Christ. Instead of me talking about Jesus, I'm talking about the universe, Antichrist. Instead of talking about Jesus, I'm talking about how the God in you is greater than everybody else, Antichrist. That's what we're talking about here. And they are coming, and they are already in the world. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. There's literally pastors that'll tell you that they are the anointed one. I had a pastor say that, hey, guess what? I'm the Pope. And a whole bunch of people said, amen, amen. He sure is. He sure is, Pastor. You sure is. Stop. First of all, the Pope ain't nobody. Oops. If the Pope doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, he's just like everybody else that doesn't. And if the just my side note, take it with a grain of salt, if the Pope had a relationship with Jesus Christ, I don't think he would be a Pope. Just my thought. How can another, man, please, I wish Westwood kind of come up here and try to kiss my ring. I don't even wear rings. I wish you try to kiss my ring, God bless you. No. I have a hard time with people calling me pastor, and you're talking about calling somebody a holy father? A man full of sin. Jesse knows I'm nobody, but he sees me get out of my car. But like, hey, Jesse, hold on, Jesse. Jesse turns around to give me my, you know, to give me my privacy as I out of the car. So I squeeze in and out of that bad boy. Jesse knows I ain't nobody. We're all servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we should not be elevated in any way, shape, or form. The only person that needs to be elevated is Christ. The false teachers come, and they do not confess Jesus. They are not in the same mind of Jesus because they are not abiding in Christ. They are not staying in Christ. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if we confess, same word, with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God rose Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. When you confess Jesus as Lord, you will begin to conform into the image of Christ. And with that conformity, you will be guided and moved by the Holy Spirit, which is what you are anointed with. And if a spirit does not stand with Christ, understand that that spirit is indeed anti-Christ, other than Christ. Not just Damien, as I said before. It is someone that is trying to give you an other than Christ. If we have a wise adversary who is the devil, he is not going to present to you something that is going to be 100% anti-Christ. He is going to present to you something, at least from our perspective, he's going to present to you something that's going to look good, taste good, as he did with Eve. See, he was having Eve be disobedient at the same time, giving it to her in a show and something that she wanted. We have enemies now in the church that 100% is going to slowly lure you in. Slowly lure you in. With their smiles, their feel goods. I've watched pastors, people in their church from different churches argue about which pastor has the better stuff. My pastor drives a Bentley. Oh, yeah? Well, my pastor has a Rolls Royce. What do you got? Well, I mean, I got a bus pass. Do they still have bus passes out here? Okay, I'm just saying, in Long Beach, you used to have bus passes. You get a bus pass, you drive right around town. I'm serious. I've literally watched people argue about what their pastor has. Verse 4, you are from God, little children, and you have overcome them, the false teachers, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Another translation which I really like, it says it like this. It says, you are from God, little children, and you have conquered them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. This is reassurance. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, this is reassurance to understand that you are not overcome or conquered by false teachers or false doctrine. You have the intimate ability to be able to have sound doctrine through the Word of God with the help of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we have power over those false teachers. We have power over that false doctrine. Why? Not because of what you did. Not because you prophesied in his name and in his name cast out devils and in his name did many wonderful works. Not because you're a nice person and you help old ladies cross the street. Not because you are a person that volunteers every single week. Not because you're a person that can tell people what to do when it comes down to biblical counseling. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the work of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit that is in you. That's the reason why greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. Because of Jesus, you have victory over sin, victory over false doctrine. It's because of Jesus, not because of you. It's almost like a situation where it's raining and pouring rain outside, and we come inside this building and we are sheltered from the pouring rain that's coming outside. We are sheltered from it. Not because we did anything special. It's simply because there's a roof here that is not leaking, and we can be dry. Understand this. It is not about you. You don't do anything to save yourself. That's why we need to maintain, we remain in God's word, remain in a state of worship, in a state of awe, in a state of the fear of the Lord, knowing that it's only because of him that we're able to even do this. We understand that this is a benefit that we have because we are children of God. We are, God is in us. We are from God. We are his people. That's why we can have victory over false teachings. Verse 4, you are from God, little children, and you have conquered them because greater is the one who is in you than the one who is in the world. It's so important to understand that statement. Some people use that statement all the time. Well, greater is he that is in me. Yeah, it's true. But make sure that you are in him. Make sure that you're not self-deceived. Lord, what must I do to be in you? Teach me your word. Be my Lord and Savior. That's how. Verse 5. They, who are they? The false teachers are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. Back to the world again. False teachers. They speak to the world and from the world's perspective. They speak things that are good. I was watching a video yesterday about a gentleman that was literally being removed from a LGBTQT31H574281592. Forgive me if I missed a couple of letters or words. That was being removed, and all he wanted to do was tell people that Jesus loves you. They didn't even want that. They didn't even want that. They're not going to hear you. It's only through the work of the Holy Spirit that they're going to hear you. So they listen to the world because they're from the world and the world wants to hear them. But what does it say in verse 6? It says that we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We are not of the world, we are of God. So anybody that's teaching the Bible, sound doctrine, anyone that is preaching the Bible pays attention and listens to sound doctrine and then challenges that doctrine and wonders and debates whether or not these things are true. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If I stand here with a Bible in my hand and I literally tell you something that is against Scripture, it is your job, your responsibility as believers in Jesus Christ to correct me. Because if Wanda just so happened to be coming here for the very first time And she's wondering what's going on with this Jesus thing. And I'm telling her a false doctrine. She gets up and walks away. And all of you sat there and just were in awe. The only person that wasn't in awe of me is Jesse. Jesse be like, but everybody else in awe. Yeah, he said it so nicely. You mean to tell me you don't need to have Jesus to have salvation? Oh, that makes me feel so good. And then Wanda walks out of here. I don't need to have Jesus to have salvation. False teaching. Antichrist. There's no shades of gray, you guys. Neither you are for Christ or you're against Christ. Neither you are sound doctrine or you're false doctrine. Neither you are in communion with Jesus or at war with him. Trust me, you don't want to be at war with him. There's no shades of gray. Neither your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life or it isn't. Well, we got your first name in there and two of your initials of your last name. No, neither your name is in or it's not. Trust in Jesus Christ. That's the only way to salvation. Don't trust these spirits, these other spirits. Test them. You can trust them after you test them. Test the spirits to see if it's true. Be a Berean. Stop depending on Pastor so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so, Deacon so-and-so, Televangelist so-and-so, some Christian group so-and-so to give you your doctrine. You have the Word of God right here. And I told you before, if you ain't got one, let me know, I'll get you one. Lord knows I got enough. One of the beautiful things is people, I give them to people and they give them to someone else. So the Word of God is going forth. Here, this is the only truth. This is the only truth. And the reason why it's so important that we say this is because it's there's so much false doctrine that's going around. So much. John stops let me say this one last thing. No shades of gray? We know that there's no shades of gray. Did y'all hear me when I said that? Okay, so we see here, you're neither with Christ, okay, or you're Antichrist. Oh gosh, Luan, you can't. How could you say that? I just did. Neither you are Christ, or you are Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist we've all experienced other than Christ. But when it comes down to you standing before the judgment of God, you are neither going to be his or you're not. You're going to be Christ, blood is all over you, or you're going to be Antichrist. Finally, in 1 John 4, 7 and 8, John goes back to beloved, let us love one another. For the love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. We must continue to love the brothers and sisters in Christ. And last note, does that mean that we need to correct our brothers and sisters that are living in sin? Absolutely, because that's love. If I'm walking and Albert tells me, hey, Luan, you need to make sure you be careful because, you know, the tires on your car are getting loose and there's air coming out of them and I don't want you to be on the road and have a disaster happen, I'm not going to sit there and say, Albert, how dare you? You're against me. Get away from me. Your entire family. I don't like you. You're wrong. I say, thank you, man, because I didn't even notice. Thank you for the love. As I used the analogy before, you have a little kid with wet hands. You're not going to have them touch an outlet. They get electrocuted. Your loving thing to do is to tap that hand. So yeah, love, correct. There's nothing wrong with someone saying, you know, listen, I believe in Jesus, but I'm a part of this pride thing that's happening this month. Hey, brother, that's sinful. I love you. It's sinful. Are you welcome to the church? Come on. You can sit right in the front row. You're welcome. You're not going to be rejected by us, but we do reject the sin. And we will identify the sin. Let's make sure that we're on guard. Let's make sure we're on watch. Because we have an enemy that is very smart. He's had ages and ages of practice to perfect this. And the first thing he did was deceive angels from heaven. What makes you think that he can't do the same thing with us? So let's be cautious. Let's be on guard. And let's search out the sound doctrine. And it starts with you going home and you making sure that you read the Bible. Read the Bible. I don't care where you start. I don't care how you finish. Read the scriptures every day if you can, even if it's a few verses, and ask for God to show up and show you revelation. That's the only way. Because I'm not, when I stand before God, I'm standing for God for Luan. When Sandy stands, she stands for Sandy. When Jesse stands, he stands for Jesse. He's not standing, oh, I'm standing on behalf of these 15 people right here. No. Mm-mm. God's going to look at you, and he can see through all of you, all your soul. And he says, he's going to look and see, did you, what did Peter say? Well, Jesus, what about John that's standing behind us? He says, what does that matter to you? You follow me. Let's have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen.